This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at howiecarshow.com/Thor. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith. The last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Grace Curley Show. We are back in 2022. This is our anniversary week. It has been 1 year. Tomorrow, it will be 1 year since The Grace Curley Show premiered. And it has been so much fun. What a wild ride. We thank you all so much for listening every day. And I actually want to thank Joe Biden, strangely enough, for giving us so much material to cover in the first year.
Come on, man.
I couldn't have predicted in my wildest dreams. You know, I made a mistake that a wise man once warned me not to make. Barack Obama once said, "Do not underestimate Joe Biden's ability to bleep things up." And I took that and I thought, oh, no, I don't underestimate it. I understand. I understand how bad this man can be when he sets his mind to it. And looking back on this past year, Barry was right. I underestimated how much of a disaster it was going to be. Now, over the weekend, even, we had so much news. It was a holiday weekend. You kind of thought maybe people would chill out a little bit, but there was plenty to cover. Omicron is still here in 2022. Dr. Fauci is not letting this go anytime soon. And he actually said something amazing during an interview. I don't even try to keep track anymore of where these interviews are. ABC, MSNBC, CNN, they all blend together. And if you combined all of them, we've got, what, about 50 people watching live. We look at the cuts afterwards on Twitter, and I can't get over the fact that this guy is still able to get on everyone's television. And sometimes I think that he must, in his head, be thinking, they're still buying this. They're still taking
Fauci, ouchie.
They're still taking my advice. I'm not saying COVID is not real. I'm not going that down that road at all. I understand it's serious. I understand we've lost a lot of people. But the idea that we are still listening to this man who has been wrong on every single aspect of this, whether it be mitigation ideas or the science, he's been wrong on all of it. And still, he's everywhere. He's always on television. And what he said recently really blew my mind. And I actually want to start the show with this cut, because he's saying the quiet part out loud now. A lot of people were upset with the CDC for shortening the quarantine from 10 days to 5 days. I was not one of those people. I actually thought the CDC was on the right path there. But I understand why people who have really followed the cult of Fauci would be upset by this, because in their mind, they're like, wait a second, we've been taking everything you say so seriously, and we've been not going to movies for 2 years, and we've been wearing 5 masks and face shields, and now you can just arbitrarily decide 10 days to 5 days right after I kicked my entire family out of Christmas?
What's that all about?
What's that all about? Well, Fauci explained it to Dana Bash, and I want to play this. There's a key word in here. I want everyone to listen, okay? I'll tell you what the key word is after. Listen to this cut, cut one.
George, the idea of if a person is without symptoms and infected, that they need to be isolated for 5 days. Normally, that would be 10 days. The CDC decided that they would cut that down to 5 days if the person remains asymptomatic, so long as when they do go out in the second 5 days of that 10-day period, back to work or back into society, that they diligently wear a mask. You're right, there has been some concern about why we don't ask people at that 5-day period to get tested. That is something that is now under consideration. The CDC is very well aware that there has been some pushback about that. Looking at it again, there may be an option in that that testing could be a part of that. And I think we're going to be hearing more about that in the next day or so from the CDC.
Pushback? Wait, hold on. Wait a tick. I was told that we were following the science. I was told that this was all about the science. So why does Fauci care about the pushback?
That is something that is now under consideration. The CDC is very well aware that there has been some pushback about that.
The CDC is like a teenage girl on Twitter. Oh, everyone's mad at me. Hold on, I'm going to change my mind. That's what the CDC is worried about, the pushback? Oh, it must be pushback from the right people. It must be pushback from like the blue checkmark leftists, because we've been pushing. There's been some people out there who've been pushing back for a long time. So the fact
thrice
that,
vaccinated.
Now that they're concerned about the pushback, it must be from the Nicole Wallaces of the world. But I am confused by this, because are we following the science or are we following the pushback, the backlash, the poll numbers, the optics, the Twitter feed? Well, why doesn't he just be honest when he's asked a question and say, you know what, George or Dana, whoever, whatever left-wing hack is interviewing him, you know what, that's a really good question. Hold on, let me just ask my Twitter followers. I'm going to see what most of the Karens think I should do. All right, they're thinking, you know what, they were crazy about the 10 days, but they're nervous about the 5 days. I think we're going to settle on a seven and a half day period. So, you know. That's the general consensus from the scientists that I follow on Twitter. the women with like multiple cats that I follow on Twitter. Those are the scientists now.
They're qualified to work at the CDC. Let's be honest.
The CDC is the worst.
Dr. Cat Karen.
I mean, it would be funny, but it's like, it's so frustrating. What do you mean you're following? Oh, you're aware of the CDC's aware of the pushback. What does that have to do with the numbers? I thought you guys were data people. I'm kidding. I obviously know they're not at this point. We're 2 years in. I'd be a fool to believe that they're data oriented. But still, do we have to be this obvious about it? Next, Fauci's going to be like, I got a Facebook message from someone who was really upset. So I think we're going to overhaul the whole mask thing. By the way, the mask thing, that's another issue. They're going back and forth on the mask. Some people are saying, oh, kids need to be in N95s. Other people are saying, oh, those don't really work either. We've got tons of cuts of all that. And then on top of that, over the weekend, it was not just Fauci. Another huge hypocrite had quite the moment. Yes, I am talking about Alexandria Ocasio-Marie Antoinette Cortez. She really blew me away this weekend. So AOC is caught in Miami having an espresso martini outside. I can't hate on her for the drink choice. Delicious. That is also something I enjoy. And she's in Florida. She's with her boyfriend. They're toasting outside, enjoying the sun. And I have no issue with this. I encourage people to go on vacation, you know, to take after our president and take a few days off to enjoy the sun. But the issue here is that AOC has told us time and time again that Florida is hell on earth. It's the worst place. The governor's the worst. It's so dangerous. We can't be like that. You know, oh, it's the end of democracy. Florida. Blah. And now she's there enjoying a delicious drink outside, looking like she's having a good time. I mean, a picture's worth a thousand words. I'm just going to say through that picture, it looked as if she was enjoying herself. And so people naturally are like, wait a second, you're being such a hypocrite. And I didn't know what route she was going to take. What excuse of all the COVID excuses we've heard over the last 9 years. I mean, 2 years. Feels like 9 years. We've heard a lot of excuses. I didn't know if she was going to go with the classic Nancy Pelosi, I've been set up. Maybe she was going to take after London Breed, the San Francisco mayor, and say, hey, Tony was playing at the bar that I was at. You know, it was a historic day, to quote our president. I didn't know. And then I thought maybe she'll rehash some of her own old excuses for being a hypocrite. One of my favorites was when she went to the Met Gala and she wore that Tax the Rich dress. And I knew she was going to have a clapback, because the story is never, oh, AOC is being a huge hypocrite. The story is Republicans pounce on AOC being a hypocrite and she claps back and shuts all the Republicans down. And so she had this crazy excuse when she got caught. Not when she got caught, when she paraded around in her tux, the rich dress. And her excuse was, before anybody starts wilding out, NYC elected officials are regularly invited to attend the Met due to our responsibilities in overseeing our city's cultural institutions that serve the public. I was one of several in attendance. So I thought maybe she would use this for Miami, you know, just sub out the words.
I'm one of several people in Miami.
Yeah. NYC elected officials are regularly invited to attend Miami due to our responsibilities in overseeing Miami's cultural institutions that serve the public. I was one of several in attendance. I was one of several New Yorkers fleeing my state to go to Florida. But she didn't use that excuse. In fact, she used an even more asinine excuse. Steve Cortez, he's on Newsmax a lot. He commented on the fact that she's not only in Florida being a hypocrite, but that her boyfriend is wearing open-toed shoes outside. I kind of thought it was stupid to even point that out. It's kind of, just a dumb thing to harp on. But she took that as a reason to say that the Republicans who are criticizing her, and I don't want to misjudge here, okay? I don't want to paraphrase this and get it wrong. Here's the clapback from Queen AOC. If Republicans are mad that they can't date me, they can just say that instead of projecting their sexual frustrations onto my boyfriend's feet. You creepy weirdos.
Boy, that escalated quickly.
It's starting to get old ignoring the very obvious, strange, and deranged sexual frustrations that underpin the Republican fixation on me, women, and LGBT plus people in general. These people clearly need therapy, won't do it, and use politics as their outlet instead. It's really weird. In other words, if you disagree with AOC, you are attracted to her and you're frustrated that you can't have sex with her? Is that what? Am I reading this right?
Stop it. Get some help.
And Republicans are the ones who need therapy. This woman thinks anyone who disagrees with her, anyone who has a problem with her being a massive hypocrite, wants to have sex with her. And that's where all this is coming from. And I just want to say, if criticizing a politician means you want to date them, then Donald Trump really should step away, because he is America's most wanted man.
Ladies and guys, they all love Trump.
I typed in today AOC Trump on Twitter. Thousands, maybe not thousands, but a lot of tweets that she's put out over the years about Trump. Does AOC have a crush on Trump? If her logic is what we're going by, I would say yes.
I mean, following the science that she's laid before us, yes, you have to assume she does.
Ryan Gruduski pointed out Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney's got a massive crush on Trump. And I guess they both need therapy. Again, if this is, I'm following the logic. I'm following the science. I'm following the clapbacks. 844-500-4242. Lots of fun today. We are gearing up. This is our 1 year anniversary week. So we're going to have tons of fun throughout the course of the week. Calls are open, 844-500-4242. We're talking about it all in this first hour. Feel free to weigh in. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show.
A tiara when I came in here, because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
I did not know a year ago, starting this show, that was a valid excuse to throw out. Or a valid debate point. You can't hate me because I'm beautiful. Okay? You cannot disagree with me. That is not allowed. AOC is saying no. And when you really think about it, Jared, it's a very Trumpian response. As much hate as Trump got for being like an egomaniac, at least he never threw that one out there. All these critics that make fun of me, Alec Baldwin, SNL, all these anchors, they really just want to take me out to dinner.
Well, he did say that with Alec Baldwin, his impression of me is terrible. So I guess you could say that's kind of borderline. But man, if Trump, really, if he could do that with every single one of his critics.
Trump is America's sweetheart, apparently. Everybody's got eyes on Trump.
The president, bachelor.
That's what I'm gathering here. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And there's another crazy part to this AOC story, which we'll get to in 1 minute. And we will take your calls. And it doesn't end there.
Every part of the AOC story is crazy. That's what the C stands for.
That's the part, though, that drives me nuts with AOC is that she never, ever, ever takes a moment and goes, yeah, you guys got me. You know, just once. Throw us a bone one time. Like, remember Ted Cruz? She was one of the people who was harping on Ted Cruz when he left Texas to go on vacation to Mexico. And guaranteed, that was a stupid idea. That was really dumb. But he came forward and was like, yeah, that was kind of dumb. I should have done that. You know, and he had to come back with his little wheelie bag and stand awkwardly in the airport and had to take his, you know, his moment and say, sorry, I messed up. She not only won't do that, she doubles down and then starts accusing other people. Before I even get into it, though, let's do the poll question, and then I'll tell you the second stupid part to the story. Today's poll question is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
How many Civil War comparisons will Joe Biden make this week? Zero, one, or more than one?
I'm going to say more than one.
More than one is way in the lead at 83%, 10% for zero, and 7% say one.
Since the Civil War.
Yeah, so this is the week of January 6th. Kind of crazy when you think about it, because January 6th feels so long ago because we've talked about it over and over and over again, and we've heard about it in the mainstream media over and over and over again. But the show started the same week as January 6th, and this has kind of flown by, but I think it's because every day we don't dwell on that day.
Right. We don't pay that much attention to Antifa and the FBI that we have to pay attention to them breaking into the Capitol.
We don't rehash the same story. But I have been kind of dreading this week for that reason, because I know it's going to be everywhere. I mean, Biden and Kamala are already getting ready to give speeches about it. You know they're going to compare it. There's already people on with Brian Stelter talking about their PTSD. And, you know, they're getting out their violins. People who weren't even in the Capitol building. I'm sure AOC, when she gets back from Miami, is going to talk about how she feared for her life.
I'm Mr. Crowbar. And this is my friend, who is also a crowbar.
I forgot Ted Lieu grabbed the crowbar.
Was he the guy with the blue suit? No, that was the guy from New Jersey.
Yeah, that was a different guy. But I have to say something here. People forget about this. All right, I can't remember what magazine was it who wrote it up. Or was it CNN? It might have been. No, we got to double check.
I think it might have been the Post. Let me double check.
No, it definitely was not the Post. There was a media publication that said Ted Lieu had grabbed a crowbar during the riots, during the Capitol riots. So you think to yourself, "Damn, Ted Lieu, like an action."
No, you're correct.
Hero.
It was CNN.
CNN. So you're thinking, "Wow, Ted Lieu, man, he jumps right into action." You know, he sees the horned guy and he just grabs his crowbar. Then they had to issue a correction a couple days later. And they said, when we wrote crowbar, we meant to write probar. A probar.
I'm Mr. Crowbar.
A probar is a breakfast bar.
Yeah, nutrition bar. Food.
Slightly different. Just a little different. All right, when we get back, we're going to go into the second part of this AOC Florida story. Do not go anywhere. Call in. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. 844-500-4242. We'll be taking calls for the rest of the hour. And there really is so much to cover. I mean, there's funny news with AOC. She never backs down from a fight, even ones that she should back down from. Her and Trump have that in common. And we also have news about COVID-19. Once again, Dr. Fauci is changing his mind on things. And what's weird is that just today I have two cuts. I have one from Dr. Fauci saying that cotton masks are effective. And then I have one from Scott Gottlieb saying cotton masks don't provide much protection. We also had the Dr. Lena Wen from CNN saying cotton masks are basically facial decorations. I think we have to have like a doctor off, you know? There's a reason we have politicians debate before the presidential election. It's because you want to see who's the best one. But if the doctors are going to be running the country, which at this point they clearly are, President Fauci is in charge, they should at least have to debate the other doctor so that one doctor reigns supreme.
Called the RX Rumble.
Yes.
All the doctors in one ring.
And who should be the moderator? That's the question.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt it should be Brian Stelter.
I think it should be Nicole Wallace. She's thrice vaccinated.
Oh, that's true.
She's the one who has been taking this the most seriously. She deserves to have her questions answered.
Yeah, but she does have a little bit of a bias.
I'm a Fauci groupie.
That's true. That's true. But don't they all? I mean, they all have a bias one way or the other. But I'm just saying that Fauci might have some competition because a lot of these doctors are disagreeing with him. We will get to that in a second. But the story I really want to talk about.
Dr. Robert Malone, he is banned from competition.
That's a whole nother thing. The Getter situation. So over the weekend, I did a premiere this weekend, Getter. Like it came out, launched.
It's been out, but yeah, I think this was the
big weekend.
The big weekend.
So Joe Rogan tweeted out that he, which is funny, you know, you tweet out that you're on Getter, but it's a new social media platform. I actually made one over the weekend. I do have a Getter account if anyone wants to follow me on there. And we'll get into all of that later, but there's a doctor who was on with Joe Rogan who was discussing this kind of cult-like hypnosis of the American people and how, you know, historically this is not unheard of that people will fall for something like this. I shouldn't even say fall for it. I just mean people will follow the rules if there's a big shift. He explains it really well, and naturally he gets banned from Twitter. Naturally the video gets totally taken down. But you can find the video now. We have the audio from it. And then that really encouraged a lot of people to join Getter because Joe Rogan said, listen, I'm on Getter. If Twitter gets even dumber than it already is, this is where you can find me. Rejoice. And a lot of people did, including myself. So we will get into that a little bit later. But I do want to, because Jared, you know what one of my New Year's resolutions is?
Don't eat greasy foods.
No. I'm not trying to not enjoy my life. No, to pay off teases that I give on this show. So if I tease something, I'm going to talk about it. I teased the second part of the AOC Florida story.
Yes.
Let's get into it. She not only is outside drinking an espresso martini, enjoying the sun with her boyfriend, who's in Birkenstocks. And by the way, I love Birkenstocks, so I don't want to go after him for that. I have an amazing pair of Birkenstocks. Wear them all the time. You know, I know that could be a whole nother debate, though. Should men be wearing flip-flops? I understand the people who say no, but it feels to me a little sexist that we should all be out here able to show our toes. And let's be honest, there's some ladies' toes that aren't exactly great to look at either. Again, my own included. So why shouldn't men be able to flap their toes in the breeze?
I don't know. Feet are gross and should be covered at all times.
That's even women?
Yeah, all feet are gross. Yeah.
Mm, okay. Well, see, this is why it's a good debate. I don't know.
Except babies. Their feet can be cute, but other than that, if you're over the age of 9 months, feet covered at all times.
I think part of the reason, and I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole, Jared, but part of the reason,
we really don't.
Part of the reason men's feet are particularly unappealing is because you guys can't use polish. You could, I mean, you could, but a lot of men don't.
Oh, we also just don't think to like take care of them at all.
It's just like your plain nails, like a little yellow tone to them. Not good. I didn't see this being the way we start the new year, but hey, what are you going to do?
Can't go toe first into the new year without.
Yes, you're right. So AOC, boyfriend, sitting outside, enjoying drinks, everything's going well. And then someone takes a picture of her, it goes viral. She responds back and says, all you haters, I'm going to paraphrase here, but it's pretty accurate. All you haters just want to have sex with me. That was her summary of the events. And then she decided to go after Ron DeSantis. Because why not double down? Why not triple down? She's thrice tweeting at this point. And she writes, hasn't Governor DeSantis been inexplicably missing for like 2 weeks? If he's around, I would be happy to say hello. His social media team seems to have been posting old photos for weeks. In the meantime, perhaps I could help with local organizing. Folks are quite receptive here. I'd also be happy to share some notes from Governor Kathy Hochul's work in New York, since he seems to be in need of tips. Right, he should take tips from the woman who's overseeing a state where everyone's leaving to come to his state. Yeah, that makes so much sense. It hurts. Absolutely, dead on. But let's get back to the real issue here. She insulted Governor Ron DeSantis for being missing in action. And fact check, please. Is Daniel Dale available? Could you call up Glenn Kessler? I need a fact check. Is Snopes around? All right, I'll just do it myself. I'll do a Grace Curley fact check.
Snopes just wants to have sex with AOC, so you can't trust them.
You're right. I can't argue with
it's
this. It's science. I'm following the
Biology.
Science. Oh, we can't trust anybody nowadays. Anyway, though, so here's a fact check. Governor Ron DeSantis was not missing in action. He actually was taking his wife to cancer treatments. His wife has breast cancer. So AOC missed the mark just a little bit. Could have figured that out better. I don't think that tweeting while drinking espresso martinis is the best idea. That's actually why I never tweet when I'm drinking, because you think you're being sassy and cute and fun and clapping back, and really you're just being insensitive and callous.
Well, that's the entirety of AOC, whether she's drinking martinis or not.
Yeah, it's...
We're being fair.
It was just so bad, and everyone was responding like, are you serious? I don't know which part of this is worse. You saying that everyone who disagrees with you is just attracted to you, or you accusing the governor of not following up on his duties when he's taking his wife for cancer treatments?
Why are you the way that you are? Honestly, every time I try to do something fun or exciting, you make it not that way. I hate so much about the things that you choose to be.
It's going to be a lot of Michael Scott in 2022. I can tell you that right now. But I mean, all right. So you hate Governor Ron DeSantis. You think he's derelicting his duties or whatever the word is. And you think that he's the worst governor. And you think Florida is a hellhole. And you think it's all full of ferrets and crazy people. Okay. Then get out. Then don't come here. Then don't vacation here. Then go back to your beautiful slice of heaven that is New York. Go back there. Ride the subway. Have so much fun. Take in the steam of the piles of garbage on the street. Enjoy New York. Start spreading the news.
I'm leaving today.
Come on, AOC. This is your time. If it's that great, stay there. If you don't like it in Florida, no one asked you to come.
She was only in Florida so she could get directions on how to get out of Florida.
Oh, I have no words for her lack of self-awareness, and how so many people. The frightening thing is, Jared, you go on her Twitter and she gets like 65,000 likes on these tweets.
She is very representative of a large section of the population, and it is disturbing.
The woke population.
Yes.
It's disheartening when you see the amount of people being like, yes, queen, drag them, tell them off. I'm like, did you guys read her tweet? How is that not sexist? If you were at a company and the male CEO said to a woman there who criticized something he did, it's clear you just want to have sex with me. Do you think that would play well? It would be like a Mad Men episode. You can't do that. And the craziest part is that I don't care if you want to enjoy Florida, but stop telling us how awful Florida is. And then while you're in Florida, you're like, oh, I'm going to give tips from the governor of New York to Ron DeSantis. He doesn't need her tips. He's doing pretty damn good without her, actually. That's why people are moving to Florida and they're not moving to New York. You don't see signs about a mass exodus from Florida. In fact, Florida's biggest issue is worrying that all of AOC's constituents are going to move there and bring their voting habits with them. I talk to Howie Carr about this all the time. The people are moving there in droves and they're going to be like, oh, yeah, we need to, you know, liberal up this state. And then they're going to end up in the same position as New Yorkers. I don't know, but I guess everyone's just obsessed with AOC. Everyone's just attracted to her, so it's not even worth talking about. The point is moot. And there's so much, and speaking of, this is actually a great time to read this. There was an amazing thread on Twitter, and I read these sometimes, and then people end up tweeting at me, and they say, where'd you get that article? Where'd you get that? It's just someone, it was a random person on Twitter who documented her thoughts that she's been having over the past couple years, and she wrote them down. And I think this is really well written, and I'm going to read it. As a born and raised New Yorker, I've never even considered living anywhere else. Raising my kids here was the best gift and privilege I could give them. But last night, as I tucked my son into bed just after the ball dropped, I was overwhelmed by sadness and guilt. Sadness for the years of childhood my son has lost, and for my two-year-old who's never known normal. Sadness for what's become of the greatest city in the world. Now, this is the part I really liked about this, because my mom always says this. We're not from New York. We're all from Massachusetts. But my mom loves New Yorkers, and she always has. She says, I love New Yorkers. And the reason is because they're no nonsense, you know? And that's exactly what this woman writes about. And it made me think of my mom, because I'm like, ever since I was little, she used to say that. People from New York are great. They get it. They're with it. And so Elizabeth Steinberg writes, sadness for my fellow New Yorkers who used to smell BS from a mile away and who would do anything to defend our city. Guilt for allowing my city to become a toxic environment for children, for not fighting pointless, harmful, unscientific policies, for knowing we are the extreme, the fanatics, the exception, not the norm, but not moving almost anywhere else to give my kids a better life. New York has always been a kind of bubble, a city like no other. And New Yorkers are a unique breed, savvy, fierce, real, wise to the ways of the world, always one step ahead, thinking we're just a little bit cooler and maybe even a little bit smarter than everybody else. Maybe that's why we now refuse to look beyond our bubble, stubbornly insisting our way is the right way, the only way, because we're New Yorkers and we know what's best. But there is nothing sophisticated or clever or smart. There's nothing New York about our policies. We've lost our way. Unable to adapt, analyze, adjust, stuck in a superficial loop of science-free safety theater and virtue signaling, oblivious to the rest of the world, lacking all of the creative, forward-thinking nuance and realness that once set our city and our people apart. We aimlessly stroll from mandate to mandate, accepting each and every decree without so much as a hint of healthy skepticism that was once a sign of a thoughtful, well-informed public and once a part of what it meant to be a true, gritty, don't mess with me New Yorker. We once stood by our windows every night, one city united, to cheer and applaud the essential workers working tirelessly to care for our neighbors, our families, and our friends. Now we celebrate and welcome division, seeking more ways to pull us apart rather than bring us together. We once claimed to be a tolerant, progressive, enlightened city, but now we turn a blind eye to the devastating impact of our policies on some of our most vulnerable communities, including our children. New York was my home, but now it is unrecognizable, a shadow of its former self. This is not the kind of place I want to raise my kids or the kind of place I want to live. In the words of David Byrne, my city is now just a house, not a home. Maybe it's time to find a new one. But AOC says it's great. AOC says that, you know, you guys should be giving Floridians some tips. So I'm confused by that. No, really great thread, though, from that woman. Her name's Elizabeth Steinberg. And heartbreaking, you know, because I agree. I don't want... When I talk about how New York City's dead, and when other people talk about it, and how cities in general are kind of dying, I don't say that happily. It bums me out. I loved going to New York City. I think it's a wonderful place. But don't try to tell me that New York right now is where it should be. And it's because of people like AOC and Bill de Blasio and Andrew Cuomo that it's in the state it's in. So while she flees to Florida and tells you how bad Governor DeSantis is, just remember that. The people are catching on. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Dr. Houghton of Perfect Smiles is a superb architect. When it comes to dentistry, he's the best at what he does. He fixes your teeth, your smile. But what he really does is he builds self-esteem, self-confidence in all of his patients. When you have a smile that you're proud of, it builds confidence in your professional life and in your personal life. The better you look, the better you feel. That is just, it's absolutely true. And that helps every aspect of your life, every interaction you have daily. If you're not afraid to smile, every other part of life becomes so much easier. It's a new year and you have the opportunity to make 2022 the year for a new you. Have you thought about Perfect Smiles for years but never called? Well, now's the time. This year, take care of yourself. You deserve it. Call Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. They're conveniently located off Route 3 and have plenty of parking. You can reach them at PerfectSmiles.com. That's PerfectSmiles.com. Change your smile. Change your life. 844-500-4242. We'll take your calls when we come back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curly.
Welcome back to the Grace Curly Show. 617 says, not only do these mask hypocrites who continually demand others wear masks get caught maskless, they constantly go to Florida, which they claim is hell on earth with COVID. Yeah, I understand. I know. And they visit Florida, and then even worse, they move there sometimes. They buy houses there. So I'm sure Howie Carr is getting nervous.
I mean, I always knew Nancy Pelosi was going to hell at some point, but I didn't think it was when she was retiring from Congress.
Jared, we don't start 2022 on that note. You got to be more positive. Can't be so mean. My producer is a mean, mean man. By the way, White House Correspondents Association gives Joe Biden an assist in his effort to avoid questions. This is from Red State. Listen to this. The White House has done it, done what it can to try to limit Joe Biden's access to the press. But now the White House Correspondents Association conveniently announces that after an emergency board meeting, they have voted to temporarily reduce the White House briefing room to just 14 seats in response to Omicron. And Amber Athey wrote in, the White House press corps is 99% vaccinated. When the WHCA first limited briefing attendance during the pandemic, there was at least one rotating seat available to accommodate all WHCA members. Now the briefing room appears to be limited to only outlets with a previously assigned seats. Yes.
A fully vaccinated booster person.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And this stuff that different organizations are doing in the name of COVID and Omicron is frustrating beyond just the press corps. I mean, I was reading today in Fox Business that a lot of American colleges are shifting to remote learning. Now, you think about what you're paying if you're sending your kid to one of these schools. And you were told if your kid was vaccinated, which all these kids are, that they'd be able to go back and return to normal learning. And listen to these schools that have returned to remote learning. Yale, Duke, Vanderbilt, University of Miami, they're all going back to remote learning.
Well, there's another big problem with college, too, in housing. Because of COVID restrictions, like normally you used to be able to have 2 to 3 people to a room, roommates, whatever. Well, now a lot of places can't do that. I know UMass Amherst is one of the universities that's doing that. So a lot of people who don't have, who can't afford off-campus housing or who are in some type of a line to get into campus housing, they don't have the room. So they're just not either going to be not able to go to the school because they're not going to allow them to do remote learning from home. It's going to be remote. It's messed up.
Yeah, but
what's going on right now?
You know what's crazy? And we can talk about this, but as far as schools go and universities, colleges, I think a lot of people were already kind of running lukewarm on sending their kids to college because let's just be honest.
What's the benefit now?
Yeah, you're not really learning anything anymore. This is just going to make it even more. You're like, oh, you're telling me I have to pay $60,000 to have my kid sit in his room on a laptop all day? Might give him that money and tell him to start his own business or something. 844-500-4242. We got Joe Borelli coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curly Show.